We'd ask in the previous hour that the Lord would be with us. He would give His Spirit in abundance to us and allow us to see Him. And then we just ask again. Why? It's a new hour. A whole lot of frailty and weakness took place between that last hour and this one. He needs to be with us now. We looked this morning at Abram. He wasn't satisfied where he was. He wasn't content because of a trial the Lord sent him. A grievous famine that was sent to him. And so he left for Egypt. And that was a horrible trial that took place. We don't hear much of it. The Lord doesn't explain it in depth to us of what took place there while his wife was away from him. How long it was, we don't know. But that was a hard trial. It was a heavy trial. And he was forcibly returned to the house of God. Pharaoh made him get out. Take everything you leave and you go back to where you came from. He was forced to the house of God and he worshiped God fully satisfied. Not in himself. Not in all the great and wonderful things he did. Oh, no, no. He was satisfied in the Lord's grace. In His Word and His promises. I sent this out with the bulletin this morning. Chris Cunningham was in a message he preached. And I said, that's just so good. I'm going to type it up, make it an article. I guess I would have asked him before I put it in the bulletin. But I sent it out with the bulletin. He said, when a heavy trial comes to the child of God, and the Lord would be pleased to put in us, not how can I get out of this? How can I make this trial be over? But if He was pleased to put in us, how can I honor Christ in this trial? Our lives would be forever changed. Well, that's a whole new creature. That's what that is. If a heavy trial, if I'm laying in a dentist chair and that Novocaine just didn't kick in all the way, I'm about to take an arm off of it. If I thought, how can I honor my Lord in this? Boy, that's a whole lot different than screaming owl, isn't it? Make it stop. Big difference. Psalm 16, we'll begin in verse 6. We're in Psalm 16, verse 6. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. The man writing this portion of Scripture is content. He's satisfied. He's relaxed. He's fulfilled. He's filled full. He's calm. He's content. Is that how you normally are? Is that how I normally am in my daily walk in this world? Is that how it is with most people? Are most people content? Just satisfied. Good, bad, or ugly. No matter what's happening, rain or shine. That's all right. They're just calm. Usually the people who seem like they ought to be the most satisfied and the most content are the ones that always complain about how bad everything is around them. I'm reminded often. We look around this world, you know, and they say, well, money can't buy happiness, but it's a lot better to cry in a Mercedes than it is on a bicycle. And I can understand that a little bit. But we look around us worldly-wise, and there's people way better off than we are. And as David said, their eyes bug out with fatness. What are they complaining for? What's wrong with them? Till we go to the house of the Lord. Then David understood, didn't he? And boy, how often I need to be reminded when I'm complaining and murmuring and kicking rocks and whining, but everything's just wrong with me. Boy, how good do I have it? How wealthy has the Lord made me in His mercies and His grace to me? So often I complain to someone else that's in a worse condition than I am, unknowingly. I want to know what it's like to be happy like this man in our text we just read. Do you want to know that? We can. Before we apply this to us, before this hits us where we live in shoe leather, we need to know who this happy man is. Who this man is. We read there in verse 8. It says, I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. If the Lord's at my right hand, I ain't going to be moved. Period. If He's with me. But have I always set Him before me? You always set them before you. Always. I mean, night and day. While you're sleeping. Has every dream you've ever had been honoring to the God? Well, I don't think that's me. Who is this? Peter told us. He said in Acts 2, Peter said, "For David speaketh concerning him." David's writing about the Lord Jesus Christ. "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved." What's this verse about? Good. I'm thankful Peter told us. That's all the commentary I need. It's about the Lord Christ. This is who is speaking. This content and happy man in Psalm 16. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, the God man. Always happy. Content, settled, sturdy. What was his circumstances? In this life that he came into, was he just had a wonderful life? Was everything so easy and smooth on him? That wasn't his lot in life. That's not the lines that were cast down upon him, is it? Said in Isaiah 53, "He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. As it were, we hid our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." He didn't need to own a piece of property on this earth. Everybody hated him, went to his own received him not. He came here for us, and we his enemies with him. And he didn't own property. But he says here in verse 6, "The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." Well, he had a bunch of friends, didn't he? We've been looking at that at length, those 5,000 he fed. All those thousands and thousands of people. No, he'd come down to 12, and they left him when he needed them most. He had a wine press to tread, and he did it alone, didn't he? But he says here in verse 9, "My heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth." His sorrows are so much greater than ours. What a thought that is. Anytime I'm in heavy trial, and I'm drowning, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to get out of it. And when's this ever going to be over? I think, boy, think of the trials our Lord went through. Think of the grief and burden he went through. I've never resisted unto blood striving against sin. No man has. In great likelihood, I'll never be hung on a cross. I won't suffer that Roman death. And I'll certainly never have to bear the sins of all my brethren in my body. We who believe will never have to suffer the wrath of being forsaken by the holy God we offended. Our affliction's so light compared to what he had to suffer, wouldn't it? And if Christ, who suffered more than anyone's ever suffered, more than anything imaginable, if he could have this inward contentment, this inward satisfaction, it must be possible for me. If he can have all that, it must be possible for you, couldn't it? To have the same. Our lives aren't nearly as bitter as his was, so we could have the same. So what's the secret of this happiness? What's the secret of this contentment? How do we get that? Where does that come from? What's that look like? Look here in verse 5. It says, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance." And it's to have the Lord as our cup. It says in verse 5, "The portion of my cup." And it's to trust in that the Lord maintains all of this. "Thou maintainest my lot." That's the three breakdowns, three divisions for us. Contentment, happiness, being settled, is to have the Lord as our portion for our inheritance. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. To help us understand what the Lord means for us, what God's going to do for his people, the Spirit of God moved David to write this like in a metaphor. He compares this inheritance of the Lord like an earthly inheritance. So we understand that. If someone had to die for you to get that. You didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. You didn't do nothing with it. And someone had to die and it was given to you. And you have to take it. And then a daily cup. We understand a cup. Got one right there. It's filled up. I know what that means. He gives us these things, these portions. Portion here means to set apart, separated out. What was given. The Lord was Christ's part in two ways. First, he says he's a portion of mine inheritance, and then he says, and of my cup. The Lord is my inheritance. That inheritance, that gift. God gave himself to be Christ's portion, to be his inheritance. What you going to get? Him. It's a person. Our inheritance is a person. He said, the Lord is a portion of mine inheritance. This God-man, the mediator between God and man. He is the most complete contentment and happiness in the Lord God and from the Lord God. His inheritance was from Him, and it was in Him that he was content. Christ's happiness was looking forward to the future. What was to come, that great eternal inheritance of His Father. He's going to be glorified with His Father, honoring His Father. He's going to be with His Father forever. The Lord was Christ's inheritance. That's why Christ says He had to be about His Father's business. He's 12 years old. Where were you? Mary and Joseph come back. He said, don't you know I got to be about my Father's business? And they said, Joseph, did you tell him to do? They didn't get it, did they? Looking to His Father from conception on, from the Holy Ghost came to Him, He was about His Father's business. Looking that mark set ahead. Setting His face like a flint. Looking to Him. And then whenever, that did not stop. That didn't stop His whole life, 33 and a half years, until He hung on that cross and He yelled, it is finished. It's finished. Then He's with the Father. Then He went to, His inheritance came. He came to Him. What's our inheritance? What do we have to look forward to in this life? Is there something, is next week going to really be that better? Will there be a next week? Every year of my life, I think, boy, last year I was just a fool and everything was so bad. But this year is going to be great. I got my act together this year. Bet you $5 what I say next year. 2022 is horrible. I was an idiot. But boy, this year I got it together. No. Our inheritance, our comfort is knowing what eternity has to offer. And it's a person. It's not of this world. It's not next month. It's not the next state I move to. It's not the next country. It's not the next war we're being over with. It's Him. It's Him. Turn over to Numbers 18. You can just leave a marker here in Numbers 18. This is, we see this pictured in this Levitical priesthood. You wouldn't think so, but bear with me, and I think the Lord might show us something. The Lord being Christ's inheritance, it shows us that Christ is the great high priest. We need one of those. We're Gentiles. We don't know what that means. We didn't grow up around that. That's vital. We must have a high priest. And He's the high priest of His elect and all that believe on Him. We're made priests by Him, by the One that is our inheritance. He does that for us. And we see this picture here in this Levitical priesthood. There in Numbers 18, verse 20, it says, the Lord spake to Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. Aaron, that high priest, he pictured the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. And Aaron and all his brethren and all those Levite priests under him, they had no inheritance in the land like all the other tribes did. They didn't own nothing. It wasn't theirs because God was their portion. He was their inheritance. And it pictured Christ and all of us in Him, all His elect that's put in Him. And we're made priests with Him. And together with Him, with our high priest, we have no inheritance in this land, on this earth. People say, well, I own my property. You do till you don't pay your tax bill. Everything I got's paid for until I die and it's gone. Somebody else owns it. It ain't mine. I just happen to be here. That's going to go away. And children, they're mine until they move out, until they're gone, until the Lord takes them. My wife's mine until the Lord takes her. Just passing through. There ain't no inheritance here because God is our part and our inheritance. Because the Lord is Christ's inheritance, who He desired, who He wanted to see glorified, because He's our high priest, because He finished the work that God gave Him to do, because He fulfilled all righteousness on our behalf. And that way God is just to pour out grace and mercy to His people. As our mediator, our great intercessor, God is right and holy. He is just in pouring out grace and mercy to His people. He justified us. And He's just because of this one. Because this content man. Isn't that something? That's who our representative is. If I had to go to court and it was some heinous crime I committed and I needed an advocate, I needed representation. Do you want the cheapest one you can get? No, I want the best one out there. We understand these things in a court of law, don't we? Oh, if we come on our own, that great judge is just. He won't accept imperfection. It can't be in His presence. And there is only one mediator. There's only one advocate man can have and succeed. Christ our advocate. That's the only hope we have is Him. He said in Hebrews 9, Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that's to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. This intercession that He made, this mediation He made between us and the Father, it's done. He's obtained redemption. Well, He'll own you if you'll let Him. No, that ain't what it says. He possesses right now His redeemed people. He owns them. He's got a hold of them. And therefore, every believer throughout time, born of God, born of the Holy Spirit, given faith in Christ, we're fully righteous. We're fully holy. We're made as He's made. And because we must be holy to be in God's presence for Him to receive us. How are we accepted to Him? We're accepted in the Beloved. In Him, being put in Him. It says, for by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. You who believe, we are His inheritance. It's a peculiar treasure. He's His chosen people, His spiritual Israel. We're His. We've been bought with a price. He owns us. But He is ours. I am my beloved's and He is mine. That's what we looked at before in creation. The Lord made the heavens. Capital H. Well, that's a fancy. Everybody wants to go to heaven. A fool doesn't want to go to heaven. I don't care to go. An atheist wants to go to someplace nice. That's a person. Wherever He is, that's where I want to be. Why? He's my inheritance. And knowing He's our inheritance, what do you think you're going to get? Who's the judge that's going to divvy it up? It's already divvied up. You get all of Him. You get all of Him. What about this other believer? You get all of Him. How's that possible? I don't know. Ask Him when we're in glory. I'm His and He's mine. We're made one with Him. We're in one body. Does that give you any contentment? Car breakdown, quits working, tax bill comes in, don't know how I'm going to pay it. When this life's over and it's all going to burn, the Lord said the elements will be dissolved. He'll burn up everything. I have an inheritance. It's secured by the one that is my inheritance. We get that? All right. That's the first reason a person can be content. The second one is knowing that the Lord is a portion of my cup. He's my inheritance, but He's also the portion of my cup. He's that eternal inheritance we'll have in glory forevermore. Never to be tarnished, never to be taken away, forever with Him. And He's the portion of my cup. Why would the Lord tell us both of those? We need to be told both of them. We need the eternal comfort and confidence in Him, and we need something for today. I'm going to drink that water, and it's going to be empty, and I'm going to need that water filled back up again. I need something for today, don't we? Christ is our portion, because the Lord was His portion of His cup. And that He knew that every day, every hour He was alive on this earth, that every wonderful thing that happened, every joyous thing, every time He got to spend time with one of His children, that was that day's portion that the Lord gave. He given that. Anything good I have. Anything. We're about to go eat back here. And this tastes so good. Boy, it's delicious. Who gave that? The Lord did. He gave that, didn't He? He gave every sweet and rich blessing we have throughout our day. If it get too hot, go push a button on the wall. It cools off. Get too cold, push the button the other way. Who gave us that? Electricity. Alexander Graham Bell didn't give us a telephone so we can communicate with one another. God gave that. That's the means He used. All these little things. I got shoes on. Walk through gravel parking lot, my feet don't hurt. He gave that. That's a portion of my cup. He gave that to our Lord. There in Numbers 18, verse 21, it says, behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth to Israel for an inheritance. You ain't going to own no land. You ain't going to have everything everybody else has, but you're going to have a tenth of Israel. For their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. God gave all His priests a tenth part, all the produce, all the wheat, the barley, the oil, the wine, everything they needed. And that was the least of the tribes. That was the run of the litter. God had provided abundantly for them. People get wrapped up and tithe them because they're so worried about works. You know what a beautiful picture of grace that is? How many tribes were there? 12. One of them was Levites. They don't have to pay no tithes. And everybody else gave a tenth. How much is that? 110%. How much do you need? Lord will provide more. Provide in abundance, won't He? God's given us our inheritance. Just like those Levites. They didn't work for that. They didn't own nothing. We didn't work for our inheritance. Not for our daily blessings, not for our eternal blessings. And the Lord gave it. He provided. He gave us what was His. All those Levites, they ate the sacrifices, the burnt sacrifices, didn't they? That was God's. He gave the animal. He sustained the animal. And then He said, this is what you're going to eat. Why? Well, physically, we need sustained. But that's all a picture of Christ, our sacrifice. He endured the flames of wrath for us, didn't He? What are we going to feast on? He said, take and eat. This is my body. I broke it for you. You didn't break it. I hit. And that's for you. And He's our daily bread. He taught us to pray that, didn't He? How did the Lord teach us to pray? Is it a 17-book assembly and you got to study for 6 years? No. He said, pray like this. Here's a man you pray. Our Father that's in heaven. Hallowed be that God, you're holy. Give us our daily bread. Who's the bread? Christ is the bread. Lord, you'll feed us. You know that. You know I need to eat. I need Him today. He's my inheritance forever, and He's the portion of the cup I need today. If I know, confident, if I walk out that door and I say, if a plane falls out of the sky and lands on my head, I'm going to be with the one that I love forever. I walk across the parking lot. And I'm content eternally. What about right now? I see Him. I need a high priest, and He is. And you know what He does? He intercedes for us, and He tells us about it. Thank you, Lord. Let me see you in this. Let me see your tender mercies one more time. Tell me it's salvations of the Lord one more time. You think I've heard that a couple times in 41 years? Once or twice. Tell me again. I didn't hear it good enough last time. Tell me you do all the work, and I'm safe in you, and all my security's in you. I need that daily. How's a man going to be content? How's a woman going to walk through this world satisfied? Now, apart from Christ, you ain't. You build all the houses you want, buy all the Ferraris you want, get all the sailboats you want. It's going to rust, it's going to get old, and you're going to get tired of it. Vanity of vanities. Well, if I say, I see Christ today, I want to honor Him today. Lord, show me yourself today. I don't deserve it. But you delight to show mercy. He delights to show mercy. Well, my cup's got something in it now, don't it? What a pleasure. What a comfort that is. He gives us all these things in our cup that's wonderful, but He also gives us a cup of sorrows. Christ said, the Lord is a portion of my cup. He meant not just the blessing, but also the sorrows and the suffering. Christ knew the things that caused Him sorrow was measured in that cup by His Father. And then Christ took that cup and He drank it. He drank it. If you're thirsty and tired and needy and you walk through the desert and I say, here's cold water. Oh, you drank it. Eagerly, don't you? Slap my hand if I try to take it from you. It's mine. Is it so with a cup of suffering? Not for me. Not for me. So quick, I'm like I read that article. How fast can I get out of this trial? What can I do to make this over right now? I want to end this. It says in John 18, Simon Peter, having drew a sword and smote the high priest's servant, cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword in thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? What happens every time I get a cup of suffering put in front of me? Pull out the sword. Get mad. Isn't that the case? A cat does that. A dog does that. If it's wounded, better watch out. Why? It might bite you. If Kevin's wounded, look out. I hope I don't bite you. I may. I don't want to. But that's my nature, isn't it? We don't want to drink that cup. We want to do like Peter, wield our sword out. And the Christ said, my Father gave this cup to me. I'm going to drink it. Shall I not drink it? Contentment and happiness, it's not an outward in the flesh. It's what God gives in the heart. When He gives that cup of chastening, when all the trials are around you, and we see Him, the trial may not go away. If it's in the body, if it's in the sorrow and the sadness or whatever it is, the trial may not go away. But whenever that daily portion of our cup, we see Him, boy, you can breathe in. Now, who gave me this trial? God did. What's this for? It's for His glory, and it's for my good, and the good of my brethren around me. What's the end state of that? I'm going to be with Him in glory. That was the first point. What? He's my eternal inheritance, and He's my portion for today. That's what He is. Now we start calming down, don't we? Lastly, contentment and happiness and being relaxed and steadied is knowing the Lord will always maintain our lot. That eternal inheritance, what do I have to do to keep it, polish it, go to it? Nothing. He'll maintain it. What about today? I know what a sinful wretch I woke up and looked at in the mirror this morning. I know what I was looking at. It was me. And I don't deserve a portion for today. And I'm too much looking at myself to have enough sense to call out to God to give me a portion for today. He has to give me grace to ask for grace. He has to give me mercy for me to cry out for mercy. He has to maintain that. He maintains my eternal inheritance, and He maintains my daily portion. He maintains our lot. It says in verse 5, Thou maintainest my lot. In Psalm 16. Christ knew that after He bore our sins away, after He suffered in our place, that the Lord would justify Him. He knew that. He faced that wine press alone, went to tread it alone. He went to that cross. At any point they said, You Him? He said, I am. And 500 of them fell flat on their backs. At any moment, could He have not went to that cross? If that was the Father's will, of course, yeah, He could have killed everybody right then. Locked them off the face of the earth, done anything He wanted. He's God. But He willfully went. Because He knew the Father would honor His word. He knew that covenant they entered into of grace way before we ever came on the scene. He knew it was true. He said, you're going to be the substitute for this people. And they hate you. And it's going to be nothing but grace. Because they didn't do nothing to earn it. And we're going to show them nothing but mercy because they don't deserve it. And you're going to stand in their stead. I'm going to make you them. And then I'm going to make them you. And I'm going to have a whole population of people in glory made just like Christ. And whenever you go into that ground, I'll raise you again. And our Lord said, all right, I will. And He came to this earth to do the Father's will. And their will was one. He was with Him. And He knew the Father would raise Him from a grave. He said in Isaiah 50, verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from the shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. What does He promise us? You believe on Christ, you're going to be ashamed? Are you going to wind up wanting? Not so, is it? Because He said it not so. He said, He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. All those that are against Him, run to the one that first trusted in the Lord. That honored Him fully. That honored Him totally throughout His life. Run to Him. Come to Him. Stop fighting Him. And the Lord did. The Lord honored Him. He said in Psalm 9, For Thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest enthroned and judging right. What a thought. When you suffer wrongly, there's times I've suffered and I think, well, I didn't deserve that. Why are they doing that to me? Why did that happen? Somebody got the wrong number the other day and they got mad at me. Crazy. Thought of 1 Peter 3, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise. Oh, on the contrary. That's mean to me. Eye for an eye, right? I'm going to smite back. I'm going to rail back. Oh, but contrarywise. Blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. How did Peter say that? How can I bless those that curse me? Knowing that ye should inherit a blessing. Well, if I do something good, I'll get... No. What's that eternal blessing? What's our eternal inheritance? What's our portion for today? Lord, may I show you Christ today. You need something different? That's a one thing needful today and forevermore, isn't it? We might see Him. Who's going to maintain all that? The Father maintained the Son. We're maintained by Him. It said in Deuteronomy 32, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, He separated the sons of Adam, and he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion, his portion, is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. That's what the Lord tells us here in Psalm 23. For his name's sake. What's the surety of all this? What's the one that maintains the lot? The ones whose lot it is. The one who made the lot, put us on the lot, and it's his lot. Why? It's for his name's sake. It's his inheritance. That's the security of it. The name of the Lord. His honor and glory forevermore hinges on him keeping his word. And what did he say? He goes, I'm your inheritance forever. You're going to see the bread today. I'll provide for you today. You'll see Christ today, and I'll maintain all of it. Well, what's left for man to do? Praise him and thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything. I didn't deserve any of it. And in spite of myself, like Abram going to Egypt, in spite of myself, you were gracious. You were merciful. So when we go home today, and those trials come, and that wandering comes, that look into the world comes, whatever it is, the Lord's the portion of my inheritance. He's the portion of my cup, and he's the one that maintains my lot. It says in verse 6, if you believe Christ, if you believe he's the one that does all this, he is the man, he's the blessed man, he's the content man. You say in verse 6, the lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage. How good's our heritage? How good's our inheritance? No foe that's formed against thee shall prosper, said in Isaiah 53. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Saith the Lord. Knowing all these things. It says in verse 8, I've set the Lord always before me. If we need comfort and being steadied, if we want to relax, set the Lord before us. Think on these things. Dwell on His Word. Dwell on Him. But look to Christ and Him crucified. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. We'll be settled then, won't we? We'll be content and stable. Looking to Him. Looking to Him. Look around this world. Boy, them waves and the wind just go. We start sinking. Look to Him and be steady. We shall not be moved. That's the secret for it. That's contentment. Amen.